Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk. And today is Wednesday, the 20th of February, 2013. I want to thank you for joining us this afternoon, and we do have a guest this afternoon. And we'll be connecting with David Krieger at 20 minutes after the hour, right after the first break. We're going to go do the market reports. As I know, everyone is scratching their heads and saying, what in the heck is going on with gold and silver? Well, we'll tell you. Right now, we're looking at gold. Gold is down $40 at $15.65. You have silver down 90 cents at $28.64. Platinum was down $44 at $16.52, and you have palladium down 26 at $742, with palladium down 3.5%, silver, platinum down 2.6%. So actually, palladium went down greater than silver, and gold was down the least of the four. And again, it was all based on good recovery, but we'll be talking about that in just a few moments. The U.S. dollar gained lots of strength today. It's the main culprit of the pricing in gold. You have the USDX 0.59 at 81.07. They hit crude oil down 220 at 94.85. And they also hit the paper markets today. You know, 100 points anymore in the paper markets is really not much, but you have the Dow down 100 points, 108 at 13,927. NASDAQ down 50 at 3,164. S&P down 19 at 1511. The 10-year still at 2.02. I thought I saw it higher earlier in the day with the euro trading just about 133 at 1.328. And the reason, Al, that gold drops, is because of the FOMC buzz that they talk about, that things are getting better, and possibly they'll have to cut back on some of that QE, that the economy is getting better, and they don't need the funds going in there. And so you had a lot of, and plus we had went into something that is called the Death Cross. So you had a lot of technical pressure Uncle.
Yeah, you gotta, I don't even buy the idea of technical pressure
from my perspective.
The numbers are manipulated. What does it mean? You do all these, what do formulas mean if you've got numbers that are manipulated to
begin
with?
I agree with you.
The numbers don't have any credibility. I don't know how can you know, the techno following these things on the charts is that's interesting arguments, but they're not controlling. I won't say that they're worthless, but they are not controlling. I don't think they are reliable indicators of what's happening. Certainly a $40 fall in the price of gold is unnerving. It's unsettling. It's shocking. I mean, if you had called me any time last week and said there's going to be a $40 fall in the price of gold before the end of this month in one day, I would have said, ha, ha, ha. And I would have been willing to bet quite a lot that that wasn't going to happen. This is surprising. It's shocking. We'll see what happens in the aftermath. But what's motivating this, at least in part, the excuse for this is when the Federal Open Market Committee at the Federal Reserve, when they say that there's going to be, they are saying that the economy is strengthening, point one, which I don't particularly believe. And they are saying we may not have to have as much quantitative easing, meaning inflation. They're saying we may have to cut back on inflation that they're relying on to allegedly stimulate the economy. Well, if they cut back on inflation, that means the price of gold will probably take a hit. As long as we know inflation is coming, the price of gold is a sensible investment because it will withstand inflation. And as inflation increases, price of gold is going to increase. That's all. It's pretty much fundamental, although they won't necessarily move in lockstep. As long as the government wants to inflate the currency, price of gold is going up. They threaten to not inflate the currency anymore. And the price of gold falls $40. Whether this is absolute cause and effect, I don't know, but there's a close correlation. May not be the reason, but it's at least part of the reason, part of the justification. How long can the government continue to allow the price, the value of the dollar, to increase? How long can they get along without inflation? We've had inflation throughout my lifetime, almost without exception. The government wants inflation so they can pay their bills off with cheaper dollars. They can default on the debt that they already can't pay by means of inflation. If they can't inflate the currency anymore, what does it mean? It means they're going to have to outright default on some of their obligations. They won't be able to rob creditors by means of inflation. They'll just have to say, sorry, Charlie, we're broke. We can't pay those bills. Ha ha, too bad for you. There is no way the government is getting out of this debt crisis without a great deal of pain for the American people. They either default by inflation or they openly default, but they can't pay all their bills. That's a fact. Which way this is absolutely going to go in the foreseeable future, who knows? But I'm still going to bet their claim that they're going to stop or slow down, cut back on quantitative easing, I'm very skeptical. I don't think that's going to happen. And it certainly isn't going to happen because the economy is getting better. I would bet it's going to happen because foreign nations are screaming that if the government continues to inflate the currency, they will not lend any money. They won't do business with the United States. I'll bet they've been threatened by foreign countries. We don't know. That's speculation. I don't know that to be true. But I will bet you that foreign governments, foreign central banks, foreign investors are just screaming over the inflation government has caused with QE1, QE2, and QE3. Foreign creditors, domestic creditors, they're all being ripped off. And you can't keep borrowing money if you're going to rip off the creditors. Our government is so deep in debt, can't tax people enough to pay off the debt, can't keep up with the debt unless it borrows more. We need more deficit financing. If the creditors have finally hit the wall and they won't lend the government any more money, then the government has to make a move where they claim we're not going to inflate anymore. It will be a lie, but nevertheless, we have a very surprising, interesting, shocking day today with a $40 fall in the price of gold. If I were a real gambler, I think now would be the day to buy some on the expectation that tomorrow the price will jump back up 20, 30, maybe even 40 bucks, but who can say? What do you think, Melody?
Well, you know, Al, it's funny. They started QE3 6 months ago. Do you really believe that things have changed that much in 6 months to the point where they would start cutting back on QE3?
They would that's why I think it's a threat.
Yes.
It's not a response to a positive. They say, oh, the economy is getting stronger, so we'll cut back on QE3. No, it's not. They're going to cut back on QE3 because if they don't, the foreign creditors have said, heck with you. We're not going to lend you another dime. All right? No more Mr. Nice Creditor. You know, I think that's where this is going. I think that's the truth of the matter.
And perhaps with all the discussions just recently out of the blue with all this cyber terrorism from China hacking into various places, maybe that's where the real threat's coming from, but they're just doing it in a different and announcing it in a different manner. So all kinds of things are going on. But and I agree, Al, I guarantee you, it's not because things are good.
Yeah,
it's not because things are getting better, because they're not. Even you had the housing starts that were released today. January 2013 housing starts 61% below high of January of 2006. And that's the true numbers out of John Williams' shadow government stats. So, you know, again, the stock markets, they talk about the world stock markets getting better. Yeah, you had a lot of cash come into the market in January and February. There's a lot of cash sitting on the sidelines. They can't let it sit there anymore. There's a lot of things that are going on that really, out nothing makes sense. And
well,
when you have
it makes,
something...
here's one other thing. Anybody who thinks gold is a bad investment, what are the central banks of the world doing?
Exactly.
Yeah. What are the major financial institutions doing? They're buying gold. And they're buying gold because they believe it's a good investment, maybe even a necessary investment. That's what the big boys are doing, and they've been doing it for, I don't know, the last 6 months to a year at record-breaking rates. Now, we're going to have gold is permanently going down in price? Bunk. I don't believe it. But even if gold continued to go down, it wouldn't disturb me in the least.
Mm-mm.
I don't believe that there's any, I see nothing to suggest the fundamental trend has been stopped. Gold is going up. It might go down first, but it's going up, and it's going up big time. I'm convinced of that. I can't tell you anyone it's God's truth. That's my conviction. And so long as it's true, I don't care if they knock gold down to $1,000 an ounce. If they get down to $1,000 an ounce, which I don't believe is even possible, but if they got, I might start to reconsider. But until they get to $1,000 an ounce, I am going with the trend is up, up, and away. That is my conviction. I just don't know when we're going to shift back into that gear.
And, you know, if you talk about those lower numbers, I mean, there's been predictions for years and years, ever since gold started to take off, that we were going to have these, you know, big pullbacks to those levels and so forth. But people have to understand that... If everything is all relative to one another. And in order to have $1,000 gold, just think how much better things truly, not just lies coming out of Washington and lies coming out of various reports and everything, they would have to actually show truth, and things would actually have to get better in order to have gold drop back to those levels. But I'll tell you something, Al. There's a lot of people out there who enjoyed today's lower prices in both gold and silver. It's been a very active day in trading, people picking up, taking advantage of these lower prices, and it's been a terrific day here at Discount Gold and Silver. People who bought silver at higher prices said, all right, I can go in there, buy lower, and it'll bring my overall costs down for when I bought higher. Same way with gold. Yeah, and yeah, we had a we've been down, you talk about $40, we've been down about $100 on the week. And so a lot of great advantages and buys in gold, both gold and silver. So I don't suspect we would much take out our other lows that we've seen in gold and silver. So,
you know,
it's a great buying opportunity.
It's a great buying opportunity. And I'll tell you something else. I just saw a report, and I don't remember which one of the markets it is. I don't know if it's Standard & Poor's or I don't think it was Dow Jones. It was one of the other markets. I don't recall. They have hit. They are at the high. This is the high point in 4.5 years. All right. They announced that. Ta-da! What they mean is they finally got back to the price they were 4.5 years ago. That's what they mean. And after you account for inflation and whatever, they aren't even. They're still on the losing end of this. But it's one of the markets. 4.5 years. Ta-da! It's a 4.5 year high. Yeah. We are back to where we were 4.5 years ago. Where are we today with gold? We're back to where we were about 7.5 months ago. Yeah. So you go into one of the equities markets and you're back to where you were 4, maybe 7 years ago, depending on which market you're pointing at. Ta-da! They say, hooray, it's the high for that period of time. And with gold, they say it's a 7.5 month low. It's not the high in 7.5 months. It's a 7.5 month low. It's a question of how are these things presented? You know, I mean, that's what I'm trying to illustrate here is that for the equities market, it's their high in 4.5 years. For the gold market, it's their low in 7.5 months. But the truth of the matter is we're talking about something similar. And insofar as we are, gold is still way ahead of the equities. Go back 4.5 years in equity. Go back 4.5 years in gold. Gold is way up. Equities are just now getting back to where they were. What else we got, Melody? 2 minutes or so to go?
Yes, we do.
Here's one. Bank of America CEO Moynihan did not get a pay increase. It was worse than that. You may have seen this. It's in Forbes magazine. I was awoken this morning with the news that Brian Moynihan, CEO of Bank of America, had received a 73% pay raise, even though the bank was still sorting through all its troubles. Well, perhaps this is where the Federal Open Market Committee got the idea that the economy was improving. Surely Bank of America would not be dumb enough to give this guy a 73% raise if the economy wasn't getting better. I mean, isn't that the implication, Melody? Or why did they give this guy a 73% raise?
Because the bank didn't go under. I'll tell you what, I think he also got some more stock options, too. So that even makes it worse than that. But someone asked me the other day, they said, Bank of America is one of the stocks that is traded most. It had more trades, more activity than any other stock. And this just goes to show how much inside trading is going on, how much the markets are rigged. And,
again, people say the markets aren't rigged. People think that's conspiracy theory. No, it's not. The market rigging started officially and by law back in 1988 when President Reagan passed an executive order that created what came to be called the Plunge Protection Team. Based on the Black Monday in 1987, when stocks fell 500 points in one day, they established this new committee of government officials. In the event that the stocks suddenly started to plunge, they would take certain actions to guarantee that the stocks didn't plunge more than, I don't remember, 200 points on the Dow, whatever. But the Plunge Protection Team was there to protect the stocks from falling dramatically. And some people say, well, that's good manipulation. But I'm saying it is manipulation by law since 1988. If they're going to stop the stocks from falling dramatically, I guarantee you it doesn't take long before they start realizing they can also cause the stocks to rise, move sideways, roll over, shake hands, bark, beg, whatever. I mean, they've got the stock markets running like a dog, and they have done this since 1988 by law. Plunge Protection Team, that is market manipulation. It is no longer free market. It is controlled by the government. So the ideas aren't irrational. They're not bizarre. They are not incredible. And we have, I don't know how many seconds left here, Melody. Who's our guest coming on right after the break?
Our guest is David Krieger. Okay. One of our wholesalers here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading, and we've been doing business with David for quite a while, and so we got lots of things to ask David and folks. If you'd like to send us a question by email, you can do that at questions@dgscoins.com. questions@dgscoins.com.
We'll be back in a moment, folks. Please stay tuned.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. We have a guest today, one of Melody's wholesalers, and we will be talking about coins. And Melody will now introduce our guest and give us a little idea of what we're more specifically about what we'll talk about, and we'll get on from there.
Yes, I'd like to introduce David Krieger. And he's been a pneumatist for about 17 years, and he has experience in both the wholesale and the retail rare coin and bullion markets. And David, first I ought to check to make sure, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Oh. Hi, David. How are you? And I'd like to introduce you to Alfred Addisk.
Hi, David.
It's great to hear you.
Nice to meet you.
Yes.
Okay.
And you have quite a history, David. It would take me 20 minutes to go over the your background. I'm very impressed with all that you've done.
It was a long time ago, Melody, but I had a lot of fun in my life, and I look forward to a lot more.
Well, you're not that old, David, are you?
No. But I did. I hit the big 70, so that's a good age.
You're Al's age.
I'm only going on. I'm not 70. I'm only going on 68.
Well, that's just tough.
I'm wondering about
like
70.
Say, that's the new 50, Al. So we're okay.
Yeah, I understand that. But I never wanted to be 50 in the first place. You know, I'm still thinking about. You know, I'm thinking in terms of maybe the new 35 or the new 40, something like that.
I hear you. That's good.
But you went on to wholesale trading. You worked with a large rare coin wholesaler down in, you're in Tampa.
I am.
And
yes.
From 2007 to 2008, you served as the director of state-of-the-art precious metals depository in Wilmington, Delaware. And you started your own firm then, Hobson NBT.
I did. I did that in 2009. As much fun as it was running the depository and dealing with precious metals that were being hoisted around with forklifts, I mean, that's a great responsibility. But I was running it for the most part from Tampa, and I pretty much started it up, made a transition over to a new director, and learned an awful lot, but decided that my first capability was dealing with other dealers in the coin market, and so I started Hobson, and just kind of enjoy what I find to be the best, which is other dealers.
Yeah, working in wholesale and retail are really two different worlds apart, and most of the wholesalers that I know prefer dealing with the dealers. We're a little bit easier going than
the customers,
except discount gold and silver customers. I have the best customers in the world.
Good.
Yes. Yes.
Well, how do you see the difference, David, between retail and wholesale?
Well, I think there's a huge difference. I think that many of the retail customers that come in really require a person like Melody, who takes the time to speak with them, to give them a background, to go over the alternatives accumulating gold or silver can be, going over the choices. I mean, there's any variety of choices. You have rare coins, bullion coins, European fractional coins. And all of those can make sense to an individual. I don't think there's any one correct answer for that. And I think that a person like a Melody, who I've known for years, just takes her time. She's very straightforward and has that care for the customers that I hate to tell you, I probably don't. I deal with a wide variety of dealers who are interested. They'll say, "Hey, do you have 2020 Saints in 63? Can I get 100 $5 libs? Can I buy 1,000 Swiss francs?" And those are easy sales, but those are for people that are well established. So I guess that's my answer.
How has the wholesale market changed over the past 12 months? What was hot? What is hot? Have you seen changes, or is it pretty much just the same as it was 12 months ago?
Well, I think one of the things that I have a series of observations, I guess, and one of those observations is that some dealers tend to concentrate on a certain narrow selection of products that they feel comfortable with selling to their customers. For instance, one dealer may specialize in certified 20s. Another will say, "Hey, I don't have any time for certified 20s. I want uncertified coins only." Some tend to go to rare coins. And so when you look at the whole spectrum of it, coins continue to sell. Gold is continues to be a great interest to any number of people in all levels of wealth. And I really haven't seen a huge difference in one demand over another.
What about the volume and demand? How has it changed in the last year?
Probably fewer really large purchases, and that would make sense as the price of gold has gone up. And I'm talking about 100 coin lots at a time. But I would say healthy. I don't have any problem saying that the market is robust. And I heard you earlier talking about the decline in gold today, and reflecting on the fact that we're looking at a 7.5 month low. Well, the fundamentals are all there. I think the future is very bright for gold and silver, and I'm undeterred. I think business is great.
Yeah, I think I assume it's great. I believe it's going to be greater, and I think that the profits people are going to make that have enough sense to get into it. I think they're going to be pleased, but who knows? We can't, you know, you prophecy. I can only give you opinion and so on.
I'm very very quick to tell anybody that I'm not an advice an investment advisor. I buy and sell coins, and that's about it. And I'm very comfortable with that.
How do you go ahead, Melody?
No, go ahead and finish your question.
Well, I was just wondering, how do you compare? Are you dealing exclusively in gold, or do you also handle silver?
No, I like silver, but Melody didn't mention it, but I'm a member of the a life member of the National Silver Dollar Roundtable, so I have a lot of interest in silver dollars. But silver, I think, is great. It's not for everybody. Sometimes when you're trying to accumulate American silver eagles, for instance, it's it runs into a storage problem. It depends on the individual. But I love silver. I think monster boxes are great.
What do you think about tungsten? It's kind of like 70 is the new 50. Tungsten is the new gold.
Well, I don't know. Tungsten. Tungsten is the only metal, as I understand it, that has a lower value with a specific density that's even close to gold. But it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to be doing individual coins. I think the concern was the bars. I really can't talk to that. I don't have any real concern about the coins we handle of being counterfeit. And I'm pretty good about that.
I understand.
We stress a lot, David, about the protocols that we have established in order to make sure that clients don't receive, fake coins. I mean, a few do circulate, and it's all about knowing who you buy from. And certainly with the internet, you have businesses popping up almost overnight, new gold and silver dealers, and even on eBay. People can have a tendency to perhaps pick up the wrong material, and certainly maybe not true. And I myself, I agree with you. I don't think there is a lot of I'm more concerned with the tungsten in bars than coins.
Yes, I think so. I mean, really, the just think of the labor intensity of trying to drill out a small quantity. I mean, filings literally of a coin to refill them with tungsten. I mean, it just isn't cost effective. So I think that that's a fairly remote thing.
Mm-hmm.
Very likely.
I guess I would say it a little differently, and not be so concerned about the counterfeit of coins. What we do in the wholesale market is the advantage of the wholesalers is that they pretty much know the established dealers, and we know who we trust and who has the right eye and who is fair to the customers and who is going to sell a good product that we know is completely valid and a good product, and then we buy it back over time. Coins that I sold 15, 16 years ago, I have a record of. We image what we sell. We are able to recall and look at and know that the coins we're selling are good coins. And I don't really worry about that so much. It doesn't say that we don't have a good eye and we don't look very carefully, but I'm very
it's not cause for concern. It's so rare that it's not a.
There you go.
It's like a meteor.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chance that a meteor might come down and land in the backyard, but odds are it's not going to happen. So I'm not going to keep looking out the window and watching for some sort of a streak of light coming down out of the sky. I'm not going to spend much time doing that. You describe yourself as not merely a wholesaler, but also a numismatist. Is that true?
Yeah, I do.
Then you're not just moving coins by bulk. You have a sensitivity to some coins being more valuable than others. And why don't we talk a little more about that? Why don't we start to talk about that? What do you think is what should people look for if they're looking for numismatic coins? What's the basis of one coin being worth more than another? What coins are good buys at this time? Do you have an opinion on those?
Well, I think that over time I've found that there are two types of purchasers. There are some, I've even been approached by people in my hometown that want to buy gold. And they want to buy a numismatic coin, or they want to buy something rare. And when you start talking with them, you say, okay, well, have you considered this and this? They get all upset because they just want to lay money down, buy something that you say is good, and that they'll be happy ever after. And I don't like to do that. I think that buying a rare coin and putting a significant amount of money into the price of that coin is important for the person to really know what they're getting, that they really like it, and that they can be proud of it. Some people, for instance, find the $20 St. Gaudens to be a great coin. I often, when I was up in Delaware, would pull out a $20 ultra high relief in Mint State 69 that was graded Mint State 69 by both NGC and PCGS. Had a asking price of about $5 million. I used to take it to shows, or it would go to shows, and I would hold it in my hand and show it to the Boy Scout or somebody that wasn't knowledgeable, let them feel it, and I'd ask them what they thought it was worth. They'd say, oh, about $20, $30, and $5 million, and they'd be surprised. Now, that coin isn't for everybody. Some people like, I have a friend in New Jersey who collects no motto $5 Liberties. And he has spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in his collection. And if you go online, you'll find that his is the finest so far, the highest rated collection of no motto five libs. He is delighted with those coins. Some people think that that's not for them. So I think it's very independent. I think you know, before you lay down $15,000, $20,000, or $10,000 or $12,000 for a rare coin, you ought to really like it and do enough research so you know what you're looking for, rather than listen to a guy like me who says, "Hey, you'll like this."
You know, David, I find it's so discouraging, because I agree with you. It's all about the suitability, and I always tell my client, I educate. Dealers, they don't like to spend the time educating anymore and trying to match coins into what's suitable for each person. And there's a lot of high-profile competitors, dealers, who tell people they should absolutely not own any numismatic coin. None. No, you don't want it. They're awful. They're terrible. Actually, in the past years, and correct me if I'm wrong, they've actually been doing fairly well for prices. And you're right, they're not for everyone. And I disagree so heartily for when people come out and say they're bad to own. They really don't know the market.
I think that's very true. I'd take it down a step. Now, we're talking about some fairly expensive coins in numismatics. I mean, mm-hmm. The most expensive coin I had the pleasure of handling was a $4 Stella in high grade, and the price to the price was over $460,000. The most expensive silver dollar I handled personally was had a selling price of $275,000. So the world of expensive coins is not something I haven't done before. But I think also, Melody, that an argument can be made that certified coins in grades 64, 65, the generic 20s, is makes a lot of sense in some cases. And the people,
I'll tell you what, David.
Yeah.
Why don't we break for some commercial announcements right now, and we will continue with that argument that the silver coin, that they make a great deal of, the numismatic coins make a great deal of sense in certain cases. We'll continue when we come back. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom and our guest, Dave Krieger. Be right back. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Does the cost and risk of conventional healthcare concern you? Wouldn't you prefer inexpensive solutions to health problems rather than disease management? If so, tune into Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Our guest is Mr. Dave Krieger, who is a wholesaler for gold products. But more than that, he's a numismatist, and that means he has more than a passing interest. He's not just moving chunks of gold around. He has an interest in gold as collectibles, as an art form. And I heard you talking earlier. You're talking about the pleasure. You said the pleasure of holding a coin that was, I think it was silver coin you're referencing. You said I had the pleasure of holding a silver coin that was worth $275,000. I thought it was interesting that you used the word pleasure. It suggests that you have, I don't know, a kind of, you have an affinity for these coins that goes beyond just a matter of weighing them and calculating the grade and whatever. You derive a certain amount of pleasure out of these coins. Is that a fundamental reason for people to be collectors of numismatic coins, or is the fundamental reason that numismatic coins will appreciate at least as much as gold bullion and perhaps even more, or what is the great attraction for collectibles?
Well, I think that you can't... make a general statement that says that the numismatic coin is going to appreciate, you know, like bullion or anything else. The market varies, and certainly there's been some softness in the market on certain coins because the sales of yachts are down as well. I mean, when you get up to expensive things, there's less discretionary money, and it's softened a little bit. However, you're right. I mean, the story, let's just take the story of the $20 St. Gaudens. St. Gaudens was a fantastic sculptor. He was probably as popular as a singer would be today in our current society. And Teddy Roosevelt invited him up to the White House for lunch. And over lunch, Roosevelt said, "Hey, I'm really tired of these $20 liberties. They're not exciting enough." And so St. Gaudens was put to work. And I mean, there's a whole political intrigue about how St. Gaudens and the director of the Mint were at each other's throat. St. Gaudens came up with this idea for the $20 gold piece with Liberty walking towards you and an eagle on the back. It was a beautiful coin. It was in high relief. In other words, the center was higher than the edges. It went into business circulation, and the businessmen of America just were sick of it. They couldn't stack them. And so at the end of the day, they all fell all over their table, and they thought this was really bad. So, of course, the government took them all back, melted the majority. And here we have a very rare coin, a $20 high relief coin, which goes now for, you know, multiple thousands of dollars. The normal relief, $20 St. Gaudens, shares that history. It's a beautiful coin. I mean, that's why the American Gold Eagle was patterned after it on the obverse. It's an exciting thing when you look at it, and you know, you're talking about the history of taking this metal. And converting it into really a piece of art. And that's why I happen to have a favorite. I mean, I think everybody in a business has their favorite. I like Mint State 64 and 65 St. Gaudens. I like Liberty coins because there's a wonderful history of there. Some of the mints, where they came from, the idea of taking stagecoaches out of Carson City and all these minted coins and going across buckboards, it's a wonderful story. And I like to share in that. And I think that the majority of people who buy coins can.
Have you been able to communicate your enthusiasm for coins to your children and grandchildren, assuming you have some?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have two sons. One's just turned 31. He's spent 8 years in the Army as an Army captain, airborne guy, and he owns coins. He owns bars. I have a 27-year-old who's a nuclear-trained submarine officer who just left the Navy and is in Houston as an engineer in an oil and gas company. And he holds $10 Indians, $20 Saints, and 100-ounce silver bars. So, it's a family thing.
Recognizing that they're not making any more of them.
Exactly.
We have to, I mean, from on that basis alone, I have to presume they can haul some more gold up out of the ground, all right? We can mine more gold, but we're not making any more of these collectible coins. I have to presume that even though generalities don't always work, this seems to be pretty good generality to suppose that the numismatics, long-term, are going to outperform bullion. Do you think that's valid, or is that, you know, am I just oversimplifying?
No, I think you can make that argument, and I think it's a good one. But I was hesitant to do it. You know, I buy at current levels, I sell at current levels, and what's going to happen in the future, I don't know. But yes. Your thinking, I think, is very valid.
Yeah. Well,
Look what happens in the markets. I mean, you're right. They don't make them, and there are people that really, truly appreciate it. Look at how many people appreciate fine pieces of art.
I understand.
And I don't think you have to be into the multi-thousands to really get a nice piece. I have an opinion that if I were doing it, I would like my coin certified, because I think that eventually whoever is the ultimate holder of those coins, and let's say I pass away, I've just seen so many cases where people walk in to sell their coins and have absolutely no clue of what the person that collected them paid, did with them, or what the significance of the coins are. And
then they would be... They'd be selling essentially at a bullion price when there's a collectible premium on top of those coins of which they're unaware.
Well, I mean, isn't that really why certification came into being? I mean, it was all a subjective thing. I mean, there's certainly stories out there where somebody paid BU money, and we're told this is a BU coin, and then when they went to sell it, you know, the other dealer that they went to said, oh yeah, XF at best. And I mean, you know, that wasn't fair and that wasn't good. So certification certainly has an important part of it, and I kind of like certification.
Where do you see the mark?
I don't really have a dog in the fight there. I mean, I sell both uncertified and certified. I'm just trying to bring up the fact that for some people, certification makes sense. And I, as Melody has pointed out, there are people that, you know, stand really against it. It's got to be certified or it's got to be uncertified. And I just, I'm kind of the middle of the ground saying, no, I think there's a role for both.
Yeah.
I agree.
Melody's told me the story, and you can correct me, Melody, if I'm not remembering correctly. Excuse me, I still have a dose of a little of this flu bothering me, but he told me that when gold peaked, I believe it was back in 1980 at about $800 an ounce. Am I correct, Melody?
Yes.
And the numismatics didn't peak until about 2 years later.
That's about right.
Gold peaked and then went down, but the numismatics continued to rise for another 2 years until they peaked. Have you seen anything like that, David? And is it something that is it something we should think about?
Actually, I just want to say this, David. Didn't they actually peak in 87 to 89? Was really their high point.
89 was the big drop off.
89 was the big year. Yeah.
That was a bad year. Yes, and no, I really don't see a whole lot. I mean, you know, just today I'm sitting here looking at the sheets of wholesale. I mean, yesterday gold at 1610 roughly, dropped this morning to like 1580. 20 Saints and 63 went down $20, not 30, and by tonight. Gold, I believe, is down around 1560 last time I looked at it, and the last sheet reflects that, and the 20 Saints are down about $30. Bullion went down further. I think that there's stability in those, and I think that I don't think there's any guarantee that numismatics are going to outlast bullion or non numismatic coins. I think you just got to go with the market, and the fundamentals are right here. I mean, this is a great buying opportunity because every other fundamental in this economy, in my opinion, is very questionable and very, very touchy. Remember what I told you, Melody, about Germany and the fact that Germany is... I had a friend over in Germany, and he said the Germans are just accumulating gold like crazy, and the reason for it is that they're surrounded by countries that are emulating us. We're emulating them, however you want to look at it. Euro's in trouble, business is in trouble, and the Germans are afraid.
If I were to make a generalization, and I said bullion gold coins do well in a bad economy, while collectibles will continue to do well in a good economy. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I think it's a fair statement. Yeah.
In other words, the point being,
history of it, and by history, that's pretty true. And but what happens? I think we can only go on history to make a prediction for the future.
The implication would be that if you were buying gold coins now in anticipation of a bad economy, if you bought those coins, if you paid a premium and bought the collectible coins right now, if the economy didn't go bad but actually got better, or it went bad and then got better, those collectible gold coins might serve you in terms of profit better than the bullion coins.
Well,
that's not a profound statement.
No, absolutely. Yeah. That's what's happening. So, sure. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense, of course.
Okay.
I mean, it's supply and demand. I mean, the supply of those coins is restricted. And as people have more discretionary income, yeah, they go up. And that's exactly what's happened over the years.
And I think there's a line that has to be drawn between what you're classifying as the numismatic coins. We're talking true collectibles, true rare coins.
Yes.
And I think
rare,
when you're comparing
$20 saints,
not
what are called the generics, you know, the
not the generics,
24s or the 27s. Those are great coins, by the way. But the you know the 1921, you know the 19. You know, there's, well, 1921 is a great example. You know, the 1907 high relief, you know, the odd dates, you know, the 17s, you know, whatever. They're good coins.
So your favorite coin are the 64 Saints and the 65 St. Gaudens.
That's what I like, but that doesn't mean that everybody else might like them. I just think that they're an absolutely beautiful coin. I like the fact that I like only NGC or PCGS coins. I don't handle any other grading services. If I do, I'm very reluctant to do that. I think they're really good. You know, NGC is not very far from where I live. They're in Sarasota, Florida, and so it's easy to get down there for coin grading. It's you know it's, yeah exactly.
My favorite is the $10 Indian. Love that $10
coin.
Indian.
We had a question
that came in from a listener the other day, and he wanted me to ask you about what about man-made gold? What your thought? Do you think they can actually do it? And we're just about. We have about how long do we have, Al?
55 seconds.
Short answer.
Is there such a thing as man-made gold? And is it a consideration, even if it exists? Is it so rare that it doesn't amount to anything?
I think it's an infancy, and I was the only thing I could really tell you is I remember when manufactured diamonds came out, you know the short answer is the other day I was down. I have a son who's interested in a ring, and so I walked by a jewelry store and I looked at this ring, and I guess I had big taste because the ring I looked at was. Roughly 2 carats, and it was priced at $13,999. And of course, it's way out of the realm of what it was, but that's what I looked at, and it's, you know, I thought it was pretty, and you know, that's what happened. But I looked online, and there's a couple manufactured diamond places you can buy the same weight, very very much the same quality clarity and cut for about $2,000. But,
whoa.
You know, my first reaction was, why would you do that? You know, I mean, it's not the real thing. And I think if they're going to manufacture gold, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered.
We're going to have to save those questions for another time because we're out of time here, folks. I want to thank everyone for listening. I want to thank
David.
Dave for being our guest today. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom, Dave Krieger, saying thanks for listening, folks. May the good Lord, we'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Dave, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, David.
Absolutely, Melody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.